We sang a song a little bit ago, yes and amen. And I say, we say yes and amen. We thank you for this great high priest that you are for us, who ever lives to make intercession. And I pray, God, that we be so aware of your presence in this place today, that we would acknowledge it, that we would sense it, that we would see it, that we would declare it. And that, God, that you'd come right now and visit us with your word this morning, so that we could go out with thankful hearts and to know, Lord, that you are making all things new and you are doing a great work through all the things that are happening in our lives today. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to start this morning with Psalm 119. So I want you to go to Psalm 119. Now, I was thinking about the Thanksgiving season. Jeanette just had mentioned earlier that this season is starting and it is going to fly by over the next several weeks. And I love the thought of Thanksgiving. I love the thought of a Thursday, the fourth Thursday of November, set aside by proclamations in our country to say this is a day of Thanksgiving. I'm grateful for that. I feel like Thanksgiving all my life, especially growing up till I was at least 21, in many ways formed me. How can a holiday form you? And every year, we'd head out to my grandparents' place, wherever they lived, my mom's parents. And a lot of times it was Georgia. It was southern Georgia. It was sometimes it was Stone Mountain. Other times it was Tifton, Georgia, Albany, Georgia. Sometimes Florida. A couple of times in Arkansas. And we always made the journey from New Orleans to wherever they were. We got to be out of school all week that week. And we'd go. And it was just such a celebration of family and of the Lord. And you know, for me, how some things can become rote, it's never been rote for me. And so today I want to talk to you about just some random thoughts that I've had this year and years past about Thanksgiving. Or giving thanks. Thanksgiving, giving thanks, okay? So here's the first thought that I had this week. Thanksgiving should be every day. Giving thanks, Thanksgiving should be every day. It should be a part of our nature. It should be a part of our life, where we have this attitude of gratefulness that just comes forth from our lives. And I think about this passage of scripture in Psalm 119. It's verse 19, and 19 through 24. And notice what it is. He says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I'll enter through them, and I'll give thanks to the Lord." This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. And I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. What are the gates of righteousness? According to this passage, it's the gates of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a gate in this passage of Scripture. It's an open door, it's an open way to the righteousness of God. And I think that's a powerful thought today, because we can talk about faith and we can talk about grace and we can talk about mercy and we can talk about all these things. But he says, listen, I'm going to enter through this gate of righteousness, and it's going to be giving thanks to the Lord, because this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. Look at verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected, and we know that's Jesus, has become the chief cornerstone. And this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I don't think I understood till I was in my 40s the context of this great verse. This is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What day? Yeah, this day. But it always points to one of the darkest days. The dark day when Jesus was hung on a cross and rejected as the chief cornerstone. When he died for your sin. When he died and was separated from God for those moments. And he made the sacrifice in your place, where he soothed the wrath of God as this perfect sacrifice for you and me. He died in our place. And they were all scattered like sheep who lose the shepherd. They're scattered. They deny him. There's just only a few people around him when he dies. And yet he would say, listen, this is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because if I can rejoice in a day like that, not understanding until now, understanding that day provided the way for you and me to have this abundant life. Therefore, every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day you have the opportunity to move through the gates of righteousness with this grateful heart of yours, this grateful heart of ours, to look back and say, on that day was a dark day, but that dark day led to a day of light when Jesus was raised from the dead and then moved to sit at the right hand of God, like we talked about just a few moments ago. And I want to tell you, if that day's a day of rejoicing, today is the day of rejoicing. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day should be Thanksgiving. Well, that's my first random thought. Every day should be a day of giving thanks. Not that we discard Thursday coming. I just think it's a marvelous holiday that's not become cheapened. Amen. All you can do is sell turkeys on that day. And if you sell them for 24 cents, you're not making much money, right? And I love it because you have a people, you have a nation, you have a group of people thanking God and moving toward Him on that day with thanksgiving. And I pray that this Thanksgiving would be an awesome forming day, a formational day for you and your family as you give thanks. Second, thanksgiving should be given in and for everything. Look at 1 Thessalonians on the screen, 5:16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Two thoughts for me in this passage of Scripture. What is the will of God? That we give thanks. That we give thanks in everything. That's God's will, that we thank Him. That we thank Him in everything. Paul talked to the Ephesians, and he said this in Ephesians 5:20, always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes about this journey since 2011 that I've made, that I decided when I was 52 years old to give thanks to God for everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the beautiful. Everything. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to thank God in it. And for me, some of you may not be able to say this, but I'm just going to thank God for it. Listen, if you can thank God for the cross and what they did to Jesus 2,000 years ago, you can thank God for everything. Thanksgiving should be given in and for everything. It's been a miraculous journey that, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about in just a minute. Third thought, giving thanks always reminds me of who I am and who God is. I don't know about you, but I want to be a grateful child of God. I want to be a grateful son of God. I want to be grateful to Him and to who He is in my life. It reminds me of who I am in Him and who God is in me. And I just want to believe Him. I want to believe in this great God. I want to trust in and accept God's plans for my life. That God is good. That He's good all the time. Even if it's bad. Even if it's hard. Even if it's difficult. That God is generous. He's faithful. Who gives good gifts to His children. And who has plans for grace, favor, and generosity for you and me. Reminds me. It reminds me of who I am and who this great God is. Second, I believe Thanksgiving can become a vital part of spiritual warfare. A vital part of spiritual warfare. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not of flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not guns and tanks and fighter jets. clubs and swords. The weapons of our warfare are nothing like that. In the Christian life, the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. And the Bible says that those spiritual weapons, they take down the lofty things spoken against God. Every lofty thing that's raised up against the knowledge of God, everything that's brought to take down the kingdom of God, to take down the glory of God, let me just tell you, these weapons will take those things down. And they'll take them down in your life. And what I've discovered this just on a whim, I think, that when I thank God for all the things in my life that's happening, it just seems that I'm participating in spiritual warfare as I watch God work and I watch God move as my attitude has changed, as my focus has changed from looking at the bad or the difficult or the war or the fight and putting my eyes on this victorious warrior, Jesus, who's always fighting for us. Reminds me that I'm a part of this warfare and that my warfare... Listen, if in the flesh, if something's going on in my life or somebody's attacking me, the weapon of my warfare is not of the flesh. I don't attack back. I don't use anger and I don't use bitterness and I don't use shouting, although I'm shouting right now, sorry. Tone it down a little bit. I'm just excited about Thanksgiving. We don't shout back. We find something. We don't tit for tat. We don't do that. Our warfare is different. And when you think about love covering a multitude of sins, and when you think about faith moving mountains, and when you think about Thanksgiving doing great things, I'm just telling you, we're in a different place. We're in a different state. We're in a of mind. We're in a different state of heart, a different state of the spirit. And we don't operate like the world operates. Why do you think he said, does it make sense for you to forgive somebody 70 times seven? The same person? Does that make sense? It's part of your warfare. It's how we do war. It's how Jesus crushed the head of the enemy. When you look back over that day that he died for you, the world would say, loser. The world would say, he didn't accomplish it. But I want to tell you, when he was dying on that cross, he was crushing the head of the enemy. We don't war like the world. We don't war like the world. That's what it reminds me. When I give thanks, I'm thanking God for everything he's putting in my way and everything he's giving me when I'm put in that way. So I get to put on the shoes of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth. It's how we do warfare. It's throwing off the old, and it's throwing thanks and trust back to God and throwing his goodness in the face of the enemy. It's reminding me that I'm his child, that he's my father, and that I'm a part of this warfare. And then the third thing is that it reminds me of being a witness of great and mighty things. Which leads to my fourth random thought. Giving thanks in everything points to Jesus. You know, there's a great passage of scripture that's not in your notes. It's in Romans chapter 12. It's about Jesus authoring and perfecting our faith. He authored it, he'll perfect it. He started it, he will finish it. How many believe that today? Man, what he starts, he finishes, right? Like last week, what he prays, he gets. He starts this. And in Hebrews chapter 12, he says that we are to run the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now watch. For the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, so that he might sit down at the right hand of the Father. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not only interceding for you day and night at the right hand of God, but he's making your enemies and his enemies a footstool. That's what Scripture says about the throne of God. And I get to be a part of that. I get to see, like we're going to talk about next week, Jesus breaking bread and giving thanks, not for the bread, but for what the bread represents. And that's the broken body of Jesus. And then giving thanks for the wine, and then not giving thanks for the literal wine, but what it represents, the spilt blood of Jesus. And on that day, he would thank this great God for the broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus. For what? Why? For what it will accomplish in your life and my life. So we thank God for the cross, like Jesus thanked God for the cross. Yeah, he struggled. Yeah, he asked God, is there any other way that we can do this? And there wasn't. It was the only way to secure your salvation and mine. Was it hard? You bet it was. So hard that the Bible says his sweat became like drug, like blood, when he was in such anguish. And I always say this, I don't believe that the anguish was about what was going to happen to his physical body, but what was going to happen spiritually when he bore your sin and my sin on the body. And Jesus gave thanks. And when I give thanks, it points to the thankful God in the flesh. The one who gave thanks to the Father. The fifth random thought. Can you put it up there? Great things happen when you thank God for everything. Let me say this again. Great things happen when you thank God for everything. You know, I was looking back at some old journals, and was looking back at October 22nd, 2011. Some of you know that on my birthday's the 21st of October, and instead of doing New Year's resolutions on January, I do them during the week of my birthday, which is something that I've always done. I get a new journal. I think about my last year. I think about what I think maybe God could do the week and the year ahead, and I look forward to starting to write in that journal. I've journaled since I was 17, 15 years old. And I had all these goals, you know, that I want to see God do. And that year, I just asked God, I just want to do four things daily. If I can do these four things, I feel like I'm going to have a great year. And the first one was, God, I want to thank you for everything. I want to thank you for the good, the bad, the ugly. Now listen, when I began to do that, I'm going to tell you, I began to thank God for things that didn't make sense. And I think it was safe to say that sometimes I'd say, God, I don't like this, but I'm going to thank you in it anyway. And the second thing is kind of similar. I want to confess spontaneously, just from the heart, that whatever's going on, I'm going to confess that you are Lord today. You are Lord. You're on your throne, and you are sovereign God in my life. How many of you believe that God is sovereign in your life? Amen. That means you ought to thank God for everything. If he's sovereign, if you really believe that, I think you're Lord. I want to just declare you're Lord. Something right, something bad, something hard, you're Lord. Thank you. You are Lord over this. You are Lord over my life. The third thing is God, when there's difficult times and good times, I just want to love well through it. I just want to love people and love you well through whatever I'm going through, good, bad, ugly, beautiful. And the fourth thing was, God, I just want to be led by your Spirit. I want to know how to obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit of God, that when God speaks to me, I respond. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I didn't get past one for months. I just began to thank God. And one day, just spontaneously, I spoke this. I spoke, supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything. And I just see it in my life. I was just seeing it. Now, you know, I'm not a name it, claim it guy, and I'm not a blab it, grab it guy. I'm just not any of those kinds of guys. Okay? I think a lot of our theology can be based around the flesh, flesh carton theology, and you got to be careful for that. And so I don't want you to think that I'm in here asking for stuff. I'm just asking God to do His work in my life and in your life. I'm asking God to complete what He started in your life, your kids' lives, your grandkids' lives, that He'll complete it. And that if you're in our church for a season or a long season or short season, that that's what you're getting from us. And I started just praying God for hard things. Things that I just would literally say, just like I said a moment, God, I don't like this. This doesn't make sense. Why would I thank you in this? Why'd I thank you for it? And I began to see some things in Scripture. And, noticed through a book where the author made this comment that in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, whenever you saw the word thanksgiving or giving thanks, a miracle happened. The word is Eucharisteo. Catholics call their Mass or their Lord's Supper the Eucharist, the thanksgiving. Okay. It's the thanksgiving. And every time you look it up, you often see a miracle. So like Luke 17:11-19 talks about 10 lepers are healed by Jesus. One returns giving thanks and he receives salvation. Gates of righteousness. Jesus said, where are the other nine? Here's a Samaritan who came. A Samaritan came and gave thanks and he got saved. Yeah, 10 got healed of their leprosy, and one got saved from their sin because he thanked God for it. Isn't that amazing? 10 people get this dreaded disease off of them, and only one returns to give thanks. But yet he finds life. He finds salvation. Salvation has come to his household. John 6, Jesus gives thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish and then feeds 5,000 men and their families. He breaks the bread and he breaks the fish and has 12 baskets full left over, thanking God and seeing supernatural things. Jonah 2:9, after 3 days in the belly of a fish, Jonah finally gives thanks and the fish spits him up to the shore. Isn't it amazing when the thanksgiving came? John 11, at the tomb of Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days, Jesus gives thanks. Lazarus comes forth. Luke 22, Jesus gives thanks for the broken body, the spilt blood, and salvation is offered to the whole world. Now I say this. Well, I want to look at this. I want you to go to Acts chapter 16 because I believe that worship is rejoicing always, praying always, and thanking God always. And you have this story of worship after a hard, hard afternoon and evening in Acts chapter 16. Something that I don't know I could ever, ever handle. Of what they handled and how they responded to it. Now, I want you to just give you just about a 3-minute context here, okay? Paul is on a missionary journey. And he'll get to one place and the Spirit will say, don't go that way. Okay. And then he come over this way and the Bible says the Spirit forbid him to go that way. And then one night, he has a dream of these folks in Macedonia. And the dream is that they're standing up and they're saying, come over and help us. We call that the Macedonian call. Okay. So he wakes up from this dream and they head to Philippi. And the first thing that happens in Philippi is there's no synagogue there. So they go down by this river thinking there'll be some people worshiping. And sure enough, there are a group of women. One is Lydia, seller of purple, great businesswoman in Acts. And she believes. God opens her heart, the scripture says, and she believes. And you know what happens? The whole household comes to Jesus. Now, I'm not just talking about husband and kids. I'm talking about extended family, because that's what a household was in the New Testament. If you had servants, that was your household. If you had close friends that lived near you or in you, that was your household. Your family, that was your household. And there could have been anywhere from 10 to 20, 30, 40 people. I mean, when the Bible says, hey, I'm greeting the church that meets in your house, some of these folks were rich people, and they had halls in their house, and 200, 300 people would come and worship God in the house. Her whole house comes. Well, they're preaching, and as they're preaching the next few days, this demonized girl is just bothering Paul. And this demonized girl bothers and bothers and bothers, and finally he turns around and he casts out the demon. Well, she's a servant, she's a slave, and all of a sudden the owners of the slave get enraged. Because this woman, this girl, possessed by the devil, made them lots and lots of money. All of a sudden, they're arrested. They're thrown in prison. He gets beat 39 times. And they get thrown into the dungeon. And the Bible says they get thrown, him and Silas, get thrown down into the deepest dungeon. Cesspool. The cesspool. Let me ask you a question. What would you do? I don't know about you, but I think I'd have some doubt. We had a really good success with Lydia. We're not having too much success right now. I just got beat half my life. Matter of fact, Jesus got cat of nine tails once. 39 whippings, and he just got one. He'll have four more before his missionary journeys are up. But what does he do? I'm going to tell you what he does. He rejoices always. He rejoices always. He prays without ceasing, and he's always giving thanks. We call it worship. That's what worship is. And I want you to notice. In verse 9, when you go from 9 on down, the Bible says that in 1625, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison of the house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here. We're not going anywhere." He called for lights. He rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what you have? I just beat you to half your life. I almost killed you tonight. And these doors open, and you don't come rushing to find me for retribution. I've heard you sing praises to this God. I've seen what I've done to you and how you are worshiping, how you are rejoicing, how you are praying, how you are thanking God. And all of a sudden, I look at this and I think a miracle happens, because he thanked God on probably the worst, one of the worst physical days of his life. And that jailer's household gets saved, and that jailer's household gets baptized, and all of a sudden, you got a bunch of people in Philippi in a brand new church. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that when you give thanks, when you give thanks for everything, when you thank him, wonderful things happen in your life. And I see it in Scripture, and I've seen it in my life over and over and over again. Now, I want to stop here, because I want to tell you some of the things that I've prayed for and thanked God for, they didn't have a good outcome. But I want to tell you what it does. It has a good outcome in my life. It has a good outcome in my heart. It didn't work out the way I thought it should work out, the way I thought God would have it work out. But I want to tell you, something happened in my heart. And this is the final random thought about Thanksgiving. Giving thanks for everything always, always has changed my perspective. It's taught me to look up and not at the problem. It teaches me again to look up at God and not at the problem. To look at His promises that are yes and amen. I'm going to confess something to you, that I am a creature of comfort. I don't like hard times. I don't like to feel uncomfortable. I don't like to have a fever. I don't like to have an ingrown toenail. I don't like that. I like it comfortable. That's what I like. I like it comfortable. How many of you like it comfortable? Yeah, every one of you. Oh, gosh. I'm not just preaching to me. We all want to be comfortable. I believe there's a reason for that, because comfort is eternity in your heart. It's the eternal purpose of God to be comfortable in heaven the rest of your life. I don't like it when bad things happen. But it has not caused me to cease giving Him thanks for the things that have made me uncomfortable. And sometimes I've got to press into this. I've got to press into it and say, God, I'm going to thank You for this. I'm going to thank You in it. I'm going to give glory and honor to Your name. Listen, it changes my perspective. Listen, thanking God for everything has nurtured me to the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough, even more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion to clarity. It turns a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger, an enemy into a friend. It makes sense of our past, and it brings peace for the day. And then I'm going to tell you what else it does. It'll give you a grasp of what God's will really is for your life. It'll cause you to push through the hard times, knowing that God's purpose is being accomplished in your life. You'll have a growing faith in the providence of God. You're willing to look foolish by saying, thank You, God, for that. It means you are willing to place every circumstance in the hands of God, which is in reality where they already are. Where they already are. It means you'll see and confess Jesus as Lord. It means you'll choose to see the good God is accomplishing through the hardness of the hard times and the struggle. You choose to be happy. And if not deliriously happy, you're at least finding contentment in Jesus. You put off grumbling, complaint, and discontentment because you're thanking God for all that He's given and all that He's doing. You believe your circumstance furthers the will of God and the growth of the gospel. You choose to be led by the Spirit according to His word. When you thank God for everything, you're willing to be a greater vessel for His glory. You find out the great and lasting joy comes not because of good circumstances, but it just comes from the hand of God. You'll suffer in a manner worthy of the Lord, and your ache will seem to be relieved as you know that for the believer, weeping may last through the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And those are my 6 random thoughts about Thanksgiving. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? I want to make one confession to you. And that confession is, of all that I've said today, especially in these last points, there are times that I still will find it difficult to thank God for some things. And in those days, I just say, God, in the name of Jesus, by an act of my will, this is where I'm at on this one. I can only thank You in it. And you know, I think God blesses that too. I really do. Sometimes in 2012, I began a thankful list of all the things that I'm giving thanks for. And it's all in all of it's not peaches and cream. Some of it's difficult. Some of it's hard. Some of it doesn't make sense. And I'm about on 3,800, something like that, 3,800 things through my journaling that I've thanked God for. And it's been one of the most blessed exercises that I've ever done in my life. Will you give thanks in everything today, if not for everything? Will you just thank Him today? Will you look at the bad thing and say, God, I don't understand this, but I'm going to choose to thank You for. And then just pour your heart out. I'm going to thank You for. And you just do it. I'm not giving you a silver bullet today. I'm not saying do this, this, and this. But I am saying, will you obey the Word of God today? And in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Always giving thanks for everything. And find the blessing of God in those hard, difficult days. Find the blessing of God. Maybe your earthquake is coming, the good one, that unlocks all the prison doors and takes the chains off of you. Maybe it's coming. Maybe it's here. Maybe it's here right now by just simply praising God and blessing God in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank You for this great word called thanksgiving. I thank You for the miraculous things that took place after people thanked You, after You thanked God. And I just ask God that You'd show that to us today. And that we'd be bold to thank You in all things. Come quickly, Lord, with Your work. Come quickly, Lord, with Your honor. Come quickly, Lord, with Your grace. Well, I want to say a special prayer today for folks that are suffering today. I want to pray, Lord, for the Cullys today and the loss of Paul, who in the last few years became a good friend to me. I want to thank You for just in these closing years of his life what I got to see and experience. And I just ask Your blessing upon Reg, upon Tara, and upon Jude and their family and friends that are here. Lord, some of them knew him as Paul. Some of them knew him as PC. Reg knew him as Dad. Jude knew him as Pawpaw. And God, I just want to pray You'd bless this afternoon in a mighty way. I want to pray for the others that are suffering today, others that are going through the difficulty. Lord, to minister with Cindy Rhodes as her mom is in her last days. Just ask Your blessing upon that family. Lord, I pray for folks in our church like Letha Montgomery, who's still struggling with treatment and cancer. And I'm just asking God that Your blessing would be upon them in a mighty way. Some of our folks are struggling today with difficulties in their relationships with children and parents and spouses. And I'm just asking God that You'd come and do a work and do a miraculous work. Lord, we thank You for who You are and what You've promised and what You've done and what You will do through every circumstance we're facing. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen.